This podcast contains everything that comes along with a group of adults discussing bad erotica, including strong language, sexual content, and an unnatural puffer dick.
In addition, we mean no ill will toward any of the authors whose books we discuss. Together, we are artists, writers, and performers. We know how terrifying it is to pour your heart and soul into something and put it out for the world to see, because you never know when four assholes are going to make a podcast that tears it apart. So when we rag on the books, we're ragging on the books. The authors are probably lovely people, and we wish them nothing but the best.
Who are we? We are the Galloping App Society, a group dedicated to reading and reviewing the weirdest, most mind-bogglingly, I still can't say the word, bizarre romance novels the world has to provide. The only rule, the books must be free on Amazon.
Intros. My name is Kelsey, otherwise known as Loins Haversham. I kind of lost steam towards the end there.
You know what? It's okay. We'll gain steam as we go. I am Kat, a.k.a. Thrusty Monkey.
Ooh.
There we go. See?
Yeah. Yeah, you did thrust in with your name there.
Wow. I'm Krista, a.k.a. Love Meat McCumswuggle.
And I'm Autumn, also known as Tits Fun, Fappington. Thank you.
Huh. So, hello, ladies. We are here. We are here to discuss this book. I picked it.
yes,
Mounted by a
you
Monster.
You have wanted to read this for, like, months.
I didn't know.
We didn't know.
None of us knew.
We truly expected this to be the most bizarre book we've read, and it. We'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
I mean, it is pretty fucking weird.
It was really
it's
weird.
Bizarre.
And the book in question is called Mounted by a Monster, Where Puffer by Mina Shay. And again, we've all picked winners. We've all picked losers. This was just the loserist.
I don't think I picked a winner before.
Yeah? There's still time.
We're never going to stop doing this. You have forever.
Yeah, I have a long time to pick a winner. Yeah, I've had a lot of losers. I mean, I remember grade A beefcakes. That was me.
Yep.
Yeah. You're welcome.
True. I haven't eaten meat since that day.
You picked Alpha's Blood. Alpha's Blood wasn't that bad.
I picked Gay Bayou Shifter, which I feel like Bayou Shifter kind of makes up for this. You know?
Didn't you pick Lick Her Clean?
That was a winner. Well,
that was a winner.
This was not a winner.
Oh, you picked Lust of the Kobolds. I mean, come on. Anyway. Also, so the cover, so it's entirely worth looking this book up on Amazon just to look at the cover, which is what drew us in the first place, because it is just the worst Photoshop job of all time, and it is just absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, it's a lady in a bikini kind of floating upside down, where there's like a normal sized, well, a giant pufferfish photoshopped kind of on like to her side.
Yeah, but it looks like they're like kissing, like they made it so that the mouth and her mouth are like kind of
they're doing like the Spider-Man kiss, like upside
down.
Yeah,
basically.
But also his mouth is the size of her face.
Okay. He could consume her
entire head.
He could.
And it's also just very misleading, but...
Well, and also, like, one of the puffer spikes is very close to her throat, and I don't like it.
I know, I was noticing that. It's, like, about to, you know...
It's about to kill her.
Oh, yeah. God.
There's, like, an air of danger on the cover that I don't think we experienced at any point during the actual book.
That font.
Maybe, like, 2%.
There was, yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, the font is, like someone's getting shocked.
Yeah, it's, like, my, like... You know when you first discover, like, Comic Sans as, like, a six-year-old and you think it's the greatest thing ever, and then life goes on and you realize it's the worst font?
Who discovered DaFont for the first time and got really fucking excited, because there are three different fonts on the cover of this book.
One of the words, some of the letters are italicized and some of them are not. There's just a
those
lot.
Those are supposed to be emphasized?
That was a choice.
Mounted! By a month
are like italicized and also undercase. It's strange. Which, don't get me wrong, my handwriting has like half, like I'll just have like random capitalized letters in the middle of a word when I'm, like, handwriting. But, like...
Well, so, okay, so listeners, you can tell how irritated we are with this book by the fact that we spent, like, literally just a minute critiquing the cover.
Yes.
Listen.
It was just, you guys, it was, like, it was just bland. And we'll get into it, but, like, you think that it's gonna be, like, absolutely fucking bonkers, and we're just reading this, like, maybe we're jaded.
If you're gonna call it Mounted by a Monster, I'm expecting actual monster fucking.
Yeah, and we also, so we read this all together, but we can't put snippets in because it very specifically states at the very beginning that you cannot, for any reason, put any snippets or it can't be reproduced anywhere.
So you can get this, you can imagine it.
It'll take you all of about 10 minutes to
maybe
read,
10
truly.
Minutes.
It's free. Why not?
It is. There you go.
Yeah, go for it.
Our conversations had just a bunch of GIFs that were variations on I hate it.
Even our GIF storm was, like, pretty low energy because we just, like, had very little to say anyway.
Also, I was... we read it the day after I got my second COVID vaccine, so
That's
was just already feeling like garbage.
You made that choice, though.
I thought this would help. It did the opposite. It made me feel worse.
It did not help as the science coursed through your veins.
I know, we stand monster fuckers, don't get us wrong, but there wasn't really even any monster fucking, so it was just, like, disappointing all around.
Let's get into this absence of monster fucking.
Yeah.
Okay, so the blurb on Amazon... Dana is a marine biologist working in a top-secret research facility with a deadly strain of piranha. Late one night, also, question, isn't strain for virus and, like, species for piranha?
Well, you could technically call, I think that you could, if it's a genetically modified piranha, I guess you could technically call it a strain. But, because it's not really a species. We'll get into the whole genetic modification.
Yes,
don't you
and
worry.
You are going to take us there, Miss Loins.
I will take you there. I know. God. I know.
It's burning questions.
It's burning my loins.
Well, this is actually my specialty. I worked for a long time literally making materials that you use to genetically modify things. So,
heck,
we'll get there.
Yeah. Okay, so.
But.
Back to the blurb. Late one night, an accident causes her to fall into the tank of deadly fish. Luckily, sexy Paul from the pufferfish division has a few tricks that might save Dana. What Dana doesn't realize is just how unnatural his tricks are, and that they extend to every part of his male anatomy.
I didn't notice that part, but now having read the book... Oh, that's horrifying.
It all makes sense.
No, boy. Okay, let's...
It all makes so much more sense.
Let's swim on into our summary. Okay.
It's gonna go swimmingly.
God fucking damn it is how our summary starts.
God fucking damn it. Okay, here we go is literally how my summary starts. Okay, here we go. Okay, Dana is a marine biologist in a quote-unquote research facility. What is it? Where is it? I don't know. It's a research facility. She's working with piranha that have been genetically modified to be more aggressive.
For some reason, I thought it was in Hawaii, but I might be wrong.
Oh, I don't think it was. I was reading it over. It was.
I don't
never
think it was
mentioned.
Ever specified.
I think I just assumed it was in Hawaii because I read this book a long time ago about a chick that worked in a research facility. It was one of those books that, like, okay, this is really random. Tangent, because I'm already over this book. I read this book when I was a kid that was, like, written about a chick that was a marine biologist that worked in a research facility, but she was, like, studying dolphins, because obviously. But it was a book that was written so that you could learn vocabulary for the SAT, so they just had, like, random SAT vocabulary thrown in there, and it would be, like, highlighted, and at the bottom it would have, like, a little explanation. But it was actually decent, so, like, I just read the book because I read everything when I was a kid, so I just kind of assumed that this was the same research facility, but maybe I should not have.
I can very safely say no, that is not right.
You don't
I
know
like
that.
The connection. I do
anyway,
enjoy the connection.
I made that assumption.
I like it. I think we should, I think this should be read by people to study for the SAT, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so Dana, while she's working one night, she sees a shiny metal object in the pool below, and after trying and failing to get it out with a long pole, she decides to go in. Since
okay,
there are...
but, like, there's so much more about this, because, like, there's these fucking fish in the water, and then it keeps talking about how there's, like, simulated debris
right.
in the water, and she, like, can't get the thing that's at the bottom of the water with the pole because of the simulated debris in the way, and I'm like, if it's simulated, turn it off! Like, it's probably a fucking switch.
I don't think it's hollow. I think
it's, like, actual debris. It's just fake sand or something. But
fake sand to make it look like the actual environment. Like, oh, you know what? No, it's like in the aquarium when they have, like, you know, in the barracuda enclosure, instead of, you know, coral reefs, they have, like, shredded tires and shit. Yeah. I think it's like that. Like, they like
but the still, it's just, aquarium. Like, weirdly specific verbiage.
Yeah.
Used multiple times. Simulate, but she kept saying it. Yeah, and she can't get this, like, thing out of the water.
So she really wants to get this metal piece, but there
for
are,
whatever quote reason. Unquote,
chemicals in the water. What are they? Who knows?
Well, she's, like, worried she's gonna lose her job. She doesn't, first of all, it's another book where, like, there's a female individual who's, like, getting a degree in something and doesn't give a shit about it, which is, like, so fucking frustrating to me. Like, it would have been so much better if she had, like, cared about the job and been, like, really into these, like, the science behind whatever these, like, fish
genetically
were. But
modified
she just
piranha sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd be
freaky,
super excited
cool.
about this.
But she just, she does not care. She's literally like, this is just a job, like, whatever. And yep. It's like, girl, if you're, like, getting, like, I guess I'm frustrated because in the Chupacabra book, she also did not, like, nobody there cared about their degrees. And it's like, can we just have a female character?
Like, one or two of them care.
One or two of them cared, but, like, can we just have a female character who's, like, getting a higher level degree in, like, some science field and, like, gives a shit about what they're doing?
Right, that's a pattern, because in Vikings in Space, she was this kind of diplomat who just gave up everything to be with this dude. Yeah,
she Viking really man. Cared about that, though. At least she cared about it, but not enough to,
It's because for women, our careers are just the stepping stones to finding our partners. Duh.
Yeah. So anyway, she tries to get it with a long pole, and then, well, I don't know why she cares so much about this shiny piece of metal at the bottom
of the
pole, but she does.
So she really needs to get in, but because of the chemicals in the water, she has to put on sorts of protective gear, but while she's stripping down to her bra and panties, which is used always for her
I think
underwear,
I just have to accept that is what underwear is.
Panties.
If you're a female.
Panties.
Underwear.
If you identify as female,
you're
going to
be wearing
panties. Apparently.
Well, you wear your panties for your womanhood, and then you wear your bra for your titties.
I want that on a t-shirt, please. This bra is for my titties.
Oh my god, I saw something on Instagram recently. It was a Jan Sports bra, and it was two tiny Jan Sport. Yes. Like backpacks, but like sewn into a bra, and I was like, oh my god! Anyway, speaking of panties. Anyway, so she's like stripping down, and then Paul comes in, who is described as,
quote unquote, the hottie from the pufferfish division. Oh no, what's he doing in here? Dana advances toward him, but thanks to the water that's dripped off the pole, she slips and falls in the water.
So as we were reading this, we were so confused because, like, there was so much attention was put to this pole.
Right.
And, like what she was doing with the pole. And we were like, why do we care? Like, all they needed to say was, like, she fished around with the pole. It didn't work. She put it away. But no, like, it was described in great detail.
Oh, and water's dripping. And this is why, because she slips in the water from the pole. Then she hits her head. But
in her panties.
In her panties.
Her head is important because then when she inevitably falls into the pool, because apparently this top secret facility just has like
it's like an open pool.
No sort of safety measures.
No fence.
At all.
Nothing at all.
Open pool with like these, you know, deadly piranhas that there's one part where she's like, I don't know, like, this must be some sort of military experiment.
Yeah, she doesn't even know where she works. She doesn't know where she works. She's like, I guess it could be military. And then later Paula's like,
it's
military. And she's just like, yes, that would make sense.
Who'da thunk?
Oh my god. Yeah, she's...
Which, don't worry, we'll get into military experiments. There's some weird-ass ones in the world.
Yes. So, after she's fallen in, she's hit her head, there's another splash, and all the fish swarm at something large that's now in the pool with her. Dana thinks it's probably Paul. She pulls herself out and watches as the piranha attack what must be Paul. Oh, well.
Yeah, she's like, shockingly does not give a shit. She's just like, well.
Like, oh, that must be him.
And she's like watching and she's like, I don't see blood. But there's no like horror. There's no like, oh God, how do I save Paul? It's like.
And it's like, oh God, I should get someone to help. Oh my God. I don't know. Whatever.
Nah, it's just Paul from the pufferfish division.
Well, and it takes her a minute. She's like, they're swarming. That something distracted them. And then she's like, oh, right, Paul. And it's like, no. No shit, Sherlock.
The other human body that's now presumably being torn asunder.
It gets better because hold on to your panties, everybody. But wait, it's not Paul. It's a 6-foot-long pufferfish. It fends off the piranha and then zooms down, picks up the shiny metal object in its mouth, and leaps out of the pool and onto the concrete.
But not only that, it picks up the shiny metal object and then spits it out, like, pews it out onto the concrete and then gets out of the water.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that.
This seems, like, really graceful for a pufferfish that is presumably, like, a 6-foot diameter creature.
I know.
Well, I don't know. Is he fully puffed?
I think he might be.
I think he's fully puffed. He's in attack mode right now.
Because they were, puffed. Like, bopping him around, and we were imagining like some undersea piranha water volleyball.
But like, honestly, like, it's a piranha, and if it's a 6-foot-tall pufferfish, like, piranha are small. Like, they could get in between the, like, he would have been shredded. Like, he would have been eaten. It does not matter.
Is this the most unrealistic thing about this book? I don't know.
Well, thank you, Tits.
Well, we'll get into bringing it. Us That's back. A good point. Bringing us back.
This is very unbelievable.
If this man were to transform into a pufferfish, he should have transformed better.
Or it wouldn't have mattered. He still would have died, is the point.
So they're both out of the water now, and they've been in the water that has the piranhas. So Dana's like, oh,
which apparently
no.
has all these chemicals to keep right. For the genetically modified piranha stuff.
Yeah, who knows
it's
what
just
the chemicals
are.
So they need to go into a decontamination pool with different chemicals that will nullify the first chemicals? Science! So she drags the massive fish into the decontamination pool and follows it inside. My god! Dana watches as the pufferfish deflates and turns into a man. The man is Paul.
Surprise!
Surprise!
Surprise, motherfucker!
From the pufferfish division. Oh my god. This scene was absolutely bonkers because she's watching this pufferfish turn into a man, and she's like, she's thinking to herself, oh, it's Paul from the pufferfish division. And then her first thing to him is, you're Paul, right? It's like, yes! Oh my god.
But Dana, she says, you're Paul, right? From the pufferfish division. And he goes, no shit, Sherlock. Like,
yeah.
he's basically like, and you're Captain Obvious. And it's just like, her whole thought process is like, she's just so stupid. Like, she just doesn't think.
You know what she doesn't pass? It's that, have you ever heard of the sexy lamp test?
Yes.
Yep. Where basically the sexy lamp test is if you, this is specifically geared towards like, especially like 90s action movies, but if you can replace the female lead with a sexy lamp, would it really change the plots of the movie
that would
or the story?
Actually make this more interesting if it was
a sexy lamp?
I mean, Chuck Tingle has already proven that like, clearly you can.
Yeah.
A sentient sexy lamp could probably be more interesting
than
her.
She would fall into the water. Nothing would change. She'd get rescued.
She'd probably
nothing
electrocute
would change.
All the piranhas. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe it would actually be more interesting. Maybe she'd electrocute the giant puffer fish man, too.
Maybe everyone in this book would die. There we go.
Exactly. Yeah.
So she realizes that he must have been after the shiny metal thing that he very obviously picked up. And when she asks him about it, he does a classic change of subject and tells her that she's kind of hot for a scientist.
Oh my god, this is so disgusting to me. Like, she's basically like, so you were after that thing in the water, and he's like, you wanna bang?
Yeah.
Hey, you're kind of hot.
Yeah, and
then scientist.
And then she instead of like making him like being like no, we're not getting distracted by this. She's like, that sounds pretty great. Let's do that.
Yeah, he's like, sure. So
why not?
Paul starts calling himself Puffer Man, which I imagine like in. I just imagine it in the same voice as like Duff Man. Like,
Pufferman makes me think of the Stay Puff guy.
See, that's what I was picturing.
From
the Stay
Ghostbusters.
Puff Man.
Oh my god! Yes,
but like small.
But
human man sized.
Anyway, she then tells Dana that part of him can be quote unquote puffed for her pleasure.
He also is just like, you want to try me out because I'm pretty great.
And she's like, sure, I don't know how to masturbate, apparently.
Yeah, because she's like, it's been so long. And it's like, have you literally ever bought any kind of vibrator ever? Like, it's not, I just... Yeah.
He then throws himself on her, starts kissing her. She's like, sure, they make out. He puts his dick in her badge. And Dana doesn't think that thrusting will work because water and natural lubrication don't, you know, combine well.
Also, maybe it's a chemical bath.
Yeah, the chemical bath that we've forgotten
about.
Speaking
as somebody who has gotten, like, a horrific vaginal infection from having sex in water before, like, I just don't even want to think about what she is introducing into...
Like, what chemicals are now going up into her... But thankfully...
No, thank you.
Everything's good, because Paul reminds her that he's now... It's with the Puffer Man. And just... inflates his dick a few times
because that's gonna help with the like lack of lubrication,
because like when it expands it's just gonna like there's a pressure difference, so water's gonna come in anyway. He also makes knobs grow on his dick.
Well, she has this moment because we were all thinking it as soon as he started inflating his dick. We were like, oh my god, spikes. And then like a few minutes, like a few paragraphs later, because it takes her forever to think of it because she's a fucking moron. She's like, wait, spikes? And he's like, oh, don't worry, I can control it. And then grows knobs on the dick instead. And we're just imagining this dick is just inflating with like what, air? Because that's what a pufferfish uses. Like, so is it just like skin with like the middle bit and then the air and the knobs?
What does this thing look like? Flaccid.
Yeah, like a normal dick.
But it like just inflates and then is his skin stretchier?
Is it like one of those like things that you like stress things that you squeeze?
Oh my god, yes. Oh no. Yes it is. Like the cows with the eyes that pop out.
Oh. I was thinking like the glitter ones. Or the ones where you squeeze the cow and like poop comes out.
Yeah, or that's what I was saying. Or like the eyes bulge.
So you're getting more and more hideous.
Or both.
We're just going.
Why
like,
not both
out,
at the same time?
It almost seems like his dick is like an independent shifter of its own, and he can exclusively like shapeshift his penis into a pufferfish.
Anything he wants.
Well, does that mean he can puff anything he wants? Like, could he like if he was just like, I want to puff my toe right now. Yeah, I want my hand.
Apparently, I would assume so. I would assume that he has like full ability to do that. But maybe it only works in water. We don't know. They just not explore.
What if like no? What if that in like
what was it? The movie Splash.
Oh my gosh!
I've actually never seen Splash.
Oh, it's cute. My mom really likes it.
I hear good things about it.
It's fun. It's very dated, but it's very fun. Very
dated.
Which apparently is actually so. Daryl Hannah's character says that her name is Madison because they walk past Madison Avenue, and that's when the name began for like people.
Oh,
like,
seriously?
It wasn't before that.
So it was just the
80s?
I feel like we definitely talked about this before, too, because that mermaid book that we've read.
Yeah, because her name was Madison.
Had, like, very obvious references. Yeah.
But I don't think we... I didn't know that it was... That's where the genesis of the name, Madison.
I didn't know that either. That's very interesting.
No, neither did I.
The more you know. Okay, so we're back to Knob Dicks. Knobby dicks. So they both come. Dana asks again what the shiny metal thing was, and now that he's gotten his puffer rocks off, Paul tells her that it's a flash drive with a bunch of top secret documents on it because apparently the research facility is filled with other test subjects and he's not the only one, and he had to hide the USB in the piranha tank so he could come back and get it later. And why the fuck is this an 11-page story about puffer boning? I don't even know.
Well, but also like, okay. So the piranha tank was the best place to hide this small, tiny USB for you to come get it? Like, put it under a rug. Like, what the fuck?
It's also like, yeah, it's gonna stand out in the tank because it is the shiny metal thing.
Yeah. Like, that makes, absolutely zero sense. Also, he's, like, he's the one who, like, gets in there. Somehow he gets in there because apparently you need, like, special codes to get in there. So he managed to get those before... Like, he goes in. Also, he's in another division, so he would know that, like, there's not just, like, they don't just leave it alone. So he would have known that somebody else would be there. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I almost feel like he dropped it in there on accident and is trying
And how did he even get in there to drop it in the first place? The place is heavily monitored. It doesn't make sense!
Also, he's in the pufferfish division. What's he doing wandering around the piranha fish?
Exactly. Division? Like, somebody would see that and be like, that's odd.
Yeah.
Is there like a piranha division, pufferfish division rivalry that we don't
oh
know?
Oh my god. Yes, they play opposing teams in
this
baseball.
This could have been so much more interesting.
Ooh, but then they fight underwater, like West Side Story style.
Oh my god. The sharks and the pufferfish?
Yeah, the piranhas and the puffers.
Well, like the sharks and the jets, but the sharks and the piranhas. Yeah.
And so the story ends, basically, with Dana's like, wait, what actually is in the decontamination tank?
Yep, and she has like, no idea.
She has no idea, and she's like, she's a vegetarian, but she's been craving meat recently. And then it ends, you're just like...
That's totally ends. That's it. That's all.
And so what I have to wonder is, like, okay, if in the decontamination tank there are chemicals that turn you into, like, a were-piranha, does he get to be both?
Oh.
What
like
happens
some weird
to him?
Mutant hybrid?
But like a little snaggle tooth? The idea of like of like a secret research facility that like turns people into genetic experiments and stuff like that.
Tentacle Lord?
Guys, is this the shared universe?
Oh my god.
I think this comes shared back to universe. Everything's in the same universe. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yes. Yeah. This is the facility Tentacle Lord was in.
Oh my god, that's right.
Le gasp.
There's a Tentacle Lord division.
Oh my god, yes.
Tentacle Lord division.
Oh, but if they get mixed, oh my god, imagine if they get mixed together, like they're in the decontamination pool, he gets tentacle lorded too, and then he can puff his tentacles for her pleasure.
He's just this abomination, like,
of everything possible.
He's like the mutants in Futurama where they have like one tentacle and like four eyes and like one arm and two legs.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the book.
Yeah.
That's our book. Yeah. That's it. It was 11 pages of...
That's what happened.
And it was just... But the thing is, like, the premise is, like, okay, you could make this, like, you could have made this horror, you could have made this, like, literally anything. And honestly, it was just really boring and gross, because he basically seduces her to distract her in a really disgusting way.
But they're also in a chemical pool, which, like... My vagina just, like, shrivels at the thought
of
that.
Like, I have enough issues. Like, can we not add chemicals on my vagina to it, please? God.
Yeah, it's like at the, like, hot tub lovin'. Don't do hot tub lovin'.
It's like, this is, like, hot tub lovin' with also, like...
Chemical
like
burns.
Bad chemical burns.
Bad
yeah.
Chemical. Yeah, with chemical burns.
Internal chemical burns.
Ugh. Well. Anyway, I wonder what she would be able to do with her vagina. Oh, my God.
Vagina dentata?
Vagina dentata. I'm a piranha. I live in the Amazon. At your dick.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. This is the genesis of there is a horror book about like a thing about like a chick with like a vagina with teeth.
Is it teeth? It's called teeth.
I think it's teeth, yeah.
It's called teeth. This is the origin story.
This is it. It all comes, everything's coming back.
See, well, coming back to Finding Nemo, I'm just imagining, like, you know how the pufferfish in the tank just, like, suddenly expands and floats off and rolls away? I think I would love for that to happen with Paul.
Like, oh my god, what if he, like, so he loses control as he comes and he just, like, fully puffs up and then she just gets in.
And then he, like, puffs out of the pool onto the concrete.
It just rolls away slowly out of like
just deflates and rolls.
Well, I'm glad I read it with all of you. So let's go into our genital euphemisms because we have a couple of different segments to.
They were really boring. The whole book was boring, other than the knobbed bit.
Like for a werepuffer, I had high expectations for weirdness on a werepuffer book.
More monstrosity.
Yeah.
More puffing. I don't know.
Oh, there was a little too much puffing, I think.
You're not into the puffer man, is what you're telling me?
It was just too many knobs.
Too many knobs in the
Too many knobs in the chemical pool. Too many knobs.
Too many knobs on the penis. Too many knobs.
Too many knobs. No, he's just a mutant.
It's true. Not really one of the good ones.
No.
No.
He would... Oh my god, no, isn't there who is it in X-Men who looks like, kind of looks like a puffer fish?
Spike?
Spike, yeah.
Yeah.
He could be like the, knockoff brand.
Shitty Spike.
Exactly. Like, instead of Spike, like, needle.
Ooh.
Anyway, okay, genital euphemisms.
So, yeah, we had a lot of the basics. We had cock was used, like... over 30 times.
Wait, oh, in an 11-page book?
11-page book, 31 cocks.
That's pretty intense. Intense.
Whoa, that's a lot of cocks. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Yeah, three per page, almost. But, so some good ones, relatively, was the puff for her pleasure, which was used twice somehow, which I think if you're going to use that sentence, it's just use it once. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weirdly specific. Knobbed shaft. Unpleasant. Inflated / inflating cock. I don't know. There just came to be a point where, I don't know if you guys were also picturing this, but I just kept seeing, like, the long balloons that clowns use to make, like, balloon animals at a carnival.
Well, now I am.
Maybe this guy has, like, a future out of the facility doing some interesting
things. Oh my god.
Are you saying that he's just gonna make, like, cock balloons?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. He's like, look what I can do.
Watch me.
Oh, it's a dachshund.
Inflate.
I can only make pufferfish.
It's a giant cucumber. It's a giant sea cucumber.
It's a sea cucumber. But anyway. Eager folds.
But anyway.
Exposed sex. Sensitive nub. And I think we see nub a lot. I'm not fond of nub.
No.
Hot seed. Her channel. And his unnaturally expanded cock. His unnatural member and Paul's unnatural cock. Which, it's just like, the number of times this guy's junk is described as unnatural is like, 5 or 6 times over the course of an 11-page book.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
But when I did, like, a word search in Kindle to find it, and I was like, how many times have we used this? So it was 5. But they give a preview for, like, other books in the series at the end of the book or whatever, and there's a sentence from one of her other books that I guess is maybe, I think it's a werewolf book, but she has a thing for unnatural dicks, because the sentence is, it was monstrous, unnatural, larger than belief, and quite possibly very dangerous. And yet she wanted it. So, it's monster porn. Which
is great. Yeah, which is
but
fine.
But lean, like, into it a little more. I don't know. I wanted more unnaturalness.
Yeah.
So word counts. Panties was used 7 times, which I don't care for the word panties. And I think that's one of those words people tend to have an issue with, like moist for some reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was like one sentence where it was used 3 times.
It was. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Stretched was used 3 times. Knobbed, studded knobs was used 3 times. I'm picturing like a bedazzler now.
Oh yeah, the studded knobs makes me think of
bedazzled,
like,
my puffer penis with knobs.
Oh god. But well, they say vajazzled, so would it be dajazzled? Dajazzled?
Dajazzled?
Benobbled. Benobbled sounds like some, like, off-brand, like, board game. Now, with a new expansion pack, Benobbled.
Well, when I'm a millionaire,
I'll play your Benobbled game.
Everyone loves playing Benobbled.
It comes with its own bedazzler.
The pieces are like those tiny little, like, stone penises.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So much healing energy.
I don't know what the aim of the game is, but we'll get there. Stimulated debris was used twice, which I know I felt like it was used a lot more than that.
We thought it was used more than that.
I think we just talked about it a lot.
I think, yeah, we were all questioning what that actually meant.
Mostly because we were confused about what it meant. And I think we kind of still
are. Yeah.
And puff / puffed / pufferized was used.
God.
Specific. It was actually used a whole lot in the book because the word pufferfish and puffer man came up like a million times.
Yeah.
But pufferman. Specifically in the context of this man's dick, it was used 10 times.
Which, God.
Too many times.
Again, for an 11-page book.
Mm. Yeah, yes.
I should just do ratios.
Yes. That long.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, we should make an Excel spreadsheet with the formula for that.
You know what? Go for it.
I will. I'll do this on my lunch break.
Yeah.
Since I'm in Excel.
It's a good
constantly.
Use of time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Formulas for a cock to page ratio.
Nice.
I think that's
really
important.
I see you're doing some
research.
Math.
I see you're doing that. I feel like that was like that. You were talking as the like paperclip from Word from ages ago. Like, I see you're trying to do some math.
Hi, I see you're trying to calculate penises. Want some help?
Oh my god, I wonder if there's like a
werepuffer.
I was gonna say erotica book about the fucking
paperclip.
Clippy?
Yeah, Clippy.
Oh my god.
I see, I thought that I had just made up that that was his name. Is that really his name?
I think it actually is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and what did you say his junk is described as unnatural about like five times?
It's so many times. It's just like specifically.
For an 11 page book.
Yeah. Like, I get it, man. It's growing knobs. I know. It's inflated.
We get it. You don't need to keep telling me, like, you could show, not tell.
Also,
like,
though, I mean, I guess it's not natural because he was, like, chemically altered. I was going to say, is it really unnatural, though, if that's just how his body works? I think that's rude, but it is kind of unnatural.
I mean, it's from whatever those...
If he was born that way, maybe that'd be rude, but he wasn't. He was created that way.
It's not Maybelline. He was not born this way. So I kind of like his unnatural member makes me think of when we had Mariah on the show. We were talking about member as the euphemism.
He's the interloper in the band. The unnatural member.
The unnatural member.
So our rating system for this book was... Right, how many piranhas do you want eating you after reading this book?
And keep in mind, this is inverted, so I would want probably, like, honestly, I would want, like, 7 or 8 piranhas eating me just because I was bored. Like, I would just kill me now. Like, God. Like, I was just bored, which is unusual because usually I'm all about monster fucking. But, like, I really didn't like either character. They were both the worst. And, like, totally, they didn't have any character at all. And, yeah, so I guess I'd say, like, 7. Yeah.
I think, I'm gonna go, how many piranhas want? I'd probably go 50.
I thought this was a scale from 1 to 10.
I'm sorry. Okay, out of 10.
I mean, are there infinite piranhas?
We'll go with 10. So I would choose 10. Because it was just, it wasn't the worst thing we've ever read, and maybe I was biased because I had science coursing through my veins and I felt like garbage. but it was just, it was so, it was, as Loin said, it was boring. There was a lot of weird detail, the characters sucked. It was like, if you want to write a short monster fucking book... and you want to have some backstory, make it long enough for the backstory to matter. Or don't put the backstory in. Like, there was no point in her being a piranha shifter if we're never going to see the piranha shifting. Ugh! So it was just...
And that was... I think that was, like, supposed
to be,
like,
him unshift.
Right. Well, no, but like, we didn't see her shift, and there was... Anyway, it was just unnecessary complications for something. Like, if we're reading a book called Mounted by a Monster, we want to read monster boning. We don't care about secret flash drives.
And also, like, so he is kind of a monster, and he is, like, a werepuffer, but, like, he's not, like, it's just his dick that it ends up being puffed by the end. It's not like she... I wouldn't... I don't know. For me, when I say, like, monster fucking, it's not like,
The Shape of Water.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that. Like, I was expecting more monster, but he was just a human who turned into a pufferfish briefly and then could puff up his dick, but was still human while they were fucking.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, I mean, Mina Shay has, oh god, like, hundreds of these books, which is, you know what? Yeah. Mina Shay... Go you. This is awesome. They're super short books that probably sell pretty well. But I'm pretty sure this book was thought up when the author was like, what would happen if a dick could expand? And then everything was written around that. Which, totally valid. But, All right, love me. What's your rating?
I'm going to give it a 7 for... Mostly my hang-up was, as you guys have said... If you're going to call it Mounted by a Monster, I'm expecting actual monster.
You to be
mounted
by a monster.
You could argue he's, like, I know, he's got an unnatural dick, and it's got spikes, which is alarming.
Oh,
but
God.
I was expecting, like, literally, like, a Shape of Water-esque fish man with spikes, which, like, is weird.
I know!
And I probably wouldn't, like, read that on my own, but I was interested, and that's not what we got. So I was just disappointed. And, like, yeah, the characters were just, like, non-characters, which I know... I don't know. Characterization isn't always a huge deal, but for this, I was like, what's with all this weirdly specific backstory? And, like, I don't like cliffhangers, and I know there's probably others of these, but it didn't end in a way, or, like, characterize anyone in a way that made me want to read more.
Yeah.
This spot was, like, okay. But he was creepy, so I couldn't really... I wasn't into him.
I hated him so much.
I'm not really even enjoying this because this guy sucks.
Yeah, he just... He was so gross.
Yeah, I'm gonna echo many of the same sentiments, and I'm gonna go with 9 piranhas eating me. Yeah, I really disliked Paul. He reminded me of, like, 90s, 2000s, like, rom-com guys, where they just bother the main character. They're like, hey, you're kind of hot for a smart girl. It's like, ah, gee willikers, sir. Thank you. I am wooed with your words.
Yeah, like, that's what I needed.
Yeah, like, that's the compliment I needed to want to bone you. But yeah, I feel like she could have taken it in different directions where we went into the backstory a little more, or we did it, I really enjoyed for the Bare Naked Yoga where they put in the backstory without, she put it in more seamlessly. Yeah, and for something with Werepuffer, I think one of the things that intrigued all of us was, you know, you see a lot of, like, werewolves and, like, werewolf smut, but Werepuffer was pretty unique, and I think we're all excited to see what, like, how were you going to do that? So, yeah, not
poorly.
Exactly, yeah, not very engaging characters, not characters that I even liked at all, not very engaging storyline, and not enough mounting. I mean, we definitely got mention of inflated dick, but come on.
We needed more.
Someone get mounted.
Yeah. Exactly.
Someone, like, please.
Though I did just have this image in my head, like, of him, like, in, like, a sequel, like, in my imagination, where he has to save her, and then his dick is the raft.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, yes! Oh, but, like, or, like, in Titanic, he just inflated it, and they can both survive the crash.
Never let
Titanic.
Go. Nope, girl, I got you. I'm the Puffer Man.
You are with your
and I believe that the dick can puff up.
The dick will float on. Anyway, other people's reviews. Loins, take it away.
Yes. So, for the most part, people were underwhelmed with this book, which, like, shocker.
Yep.
But there were quite a few, like, high rating ones. I highly recommend that you go to Goodreads and just read. It came up as the first version, I just read the word version, and that's why, like, my brain just stopped. It comes up for me as the first review on Goodreads, but it's by this person named Karen, and they didn't give it a number of stars, and it is a very long review, but it is highly entertaining. So, anyway, just, I don't know. She liked it, ultimately, which is a little weird, but all right. But the review is just, it's entertaining. It's fun to read. But anyway, so if we go to Amazon, we've got some reviews. The top review is mostly somebody called Love to Read gave it 1 star, but that's because they didn't like the cliffhanger at the end.
Fair.
But, like, that's why you gave it 1 star? Because you wanted to know what happened? Because that's not why I would give it 1 star. Then the next one just is 1 star, and it says, nope. And it says, this could have been good, but it seemed kind of weird. I loved the Monster Under My Bed story, but I didn't like this one. Like,
ooh,
okay.
Monster Under My Bed.
All right, Monster Under My Bed.
I think we might have discussed possibly reading that one.
We have,
I think we have.
Yes. Is it free?
It is.
Somebody else gave it 3 stars, just said, quick, interesting read, different type of shifter. Yes, that's why we were interested. Ending was a quick resolution. Would have liked to know more about the characters and the research. Would have liked to know more about the research. Didn't give a shit about the characters, personally. Anyway, and then he can puff 3 stars. And they just say, let's just say he can puff up any part of his body. They are research scientists in a military lab with all kinds of dangerous fish, and one was transformed, and one is being transformed. And that was the review, so thanks for that fucking, spoiler, Lena.
For 11-page story.
Yeah, and then Goodreads just, like, goes off. Like, there's just, one of my favorite ones is, what is it called? Their name is Jessica's Totally Over the Top Book Obsession, rated at 2 stars, 1.5 ribbed and puffed for her pleasure stars. And she starts by saying, when I read these monster erotica books, my expectations are always low, which, like, yes, they should be. I read them because they are silly and are funny and silly and not to be taken seriously. Seeing all that, this book sucked. It was over by the 30% mark on my Kindle, with 70% filled up with ads.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a lot of these books, though. On top of that, the story was lame. Sex was lame. Paul, who called himself Pufferman, SMH, when he fucks, doesn't move his dick in and out, but instead inflates and deflates his penis, which doesn't sound like it would feel good at all. And then she just goes, all I can picture is a tampon inflating.
Oh, God!
And she has a fucking gif of a tampon being put in water and inflating.
Oh, no!
Oh, God. Yes.
Which is just horrific. So the thing is, most of the Goodreads, the good Goodreads ones, are, like, have GIFs and stuff. One person, Michelle, gave it 1 stars and just said, dumb.
Alright.
And then Abby, Bringer of Chaos, gave it 1 star and said, my first venture into monster smut with the lovely ladies at McHalo. So I don't know if that's, like, another, like, group kind of like us. I don't know. But she said, or they, or neither or neither, or both, sorry. I know it won't surprise anyone, but I'm greatly disappointed. If I'm going to be expected to believe she would just sleep with pufferfish within 10 minutes of meeting, then I would want some special puffer perks. There was no underwater foreplay, no little fish nibbles, just a balloon with some knobs. I want my 10 minutes back. And I just,
like... Just a balloon with some knobs.
With some knobs. I just, anyway.
I like the idea of little fish nibbles, though. Like, little...
Yeah, like, they could have totally played up the fish thing.
Oh, my God. Right? Awesome.
What could have been?
But, Loins, you actually have a segment this time.
I do, you guys. So, let's talk about some genetic engineering, shall we? Because, basically, the whole concept of this is that she's, like, in water and somehow being... genetically
piranified.
That's kind of the implication. We don't know if that's how, like, Paul became a werepuffer or anything, but since I have extensive experience with genetic modification, not personally, both my parents are literally geneticists, so who the fuck knows? Maybe if that's the case, sorry to disappoint you, but yeah, so basically there are a lot of ways traditionally to create what we call GMOs, or genetically modified organisms. So there's a lot of different ways to do genetic modification of organisms, and they're all pretty shitty. I mean, in the past, they've all been pretty shitty in terms of, like, so basically, I didn't really do any research because I did do research, but what I'm realizing is that I've forgotten a lot more than I thought I did. Since I haven't been in science. But basically what you would do is you would take a segment of DNA. So you would cut the DNA in the cell that you're trying to transfect or transform or whatever, with something called an endonuclease, which basically will recognize a very, like, a small specific sequence in the DNA of the cell. But the problem with it is that sometimes that could be found in multiple places within the genome of that particular organism, so you don't really know where the gene is that you're going to be putting in is going to go. It just kind of goes in, wherever it ends up cutting. And that, I mean, it's a long and it's a complicated process. But basically, so within the last 10 to 15 years, there's been this new... Basically, what I'm mostly going to talk about is CRISPR. So there's been this new technology called CRISPR-Cas9. Or people will just say, like, CRISPR. And it doesn't have to be Cas9, but I'll explain that in a minute. So basically, CRISPR itself is a technology that has been around for a while. It's an acronym for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats. That's what CRISPR stands for. And basically, it was discovered in prokaryotic organisms. And what it is intended, and it's essentially an immune system for prokaryotic organisms. which is really cool. So it's like kind of an immune memory system for various prokaryotic organisms. So kind of like in the same way that in our immune system, we have immune cells that will recognize specific sequences on what we'll call antigens. So our antibodies recognize specific sequences on antigens. This is very relevant right now with everybody getting vaccinated. And those antibodies will basically bind to the specific sequence on the bad guy and target it for degradation by our immune system. CRISPR kind of does the same thing for prokaryotic organisms. That's going to be like bacteria and archaea. And it will recognize a specific sequence of a potentially like a past invading for bacteria instead of like viruses. We call them phages. So like past phage infections. And it will essentially mark it to be clipped in a specific way. So basically what it does is it will bind to a specific sequence and then it will recruit a enzyme that will cut it at that specific spot on the sequence, which is why we call it CRISPR-Cas9, because CRISPR is the small, so it's mRNA that will bind to a sequence, and then the Cas9 is a protein that will also I'm not explaining this very well, I'm really out of it. So basically, CRISPR is a mRNA sequence that will bind to DNA in a very specific point, and then it also has this, like, tail end that, like, kind of goes out and will also be recognized and bound by a enzyme that cuts the DNA. So Cas9 is one of those enzymes, but there's other ones. There's Cas1, there's Cas2. Cas9 is the one we typically use. So CRISPR is awesome because basically what it can do, instead of like your typical endonuclease, which can only recognize like very, very specific set sequences to cut at that point, CRISPR-Cas9 can basically like find anywhere in the genome and bind to it and target it for being cut at that specific spot. So that's why it's such a big deal, and you can use it to create all kinds of different like genetically modified organisms. However, you can't just like sit in a vat of CRISPR. And first of all, you would need to have CRISPR and the Cas9 protein or whatever protein you're using and whatever thing you're going to, like, stick in there.
So, yeah, CRISPR is basically essentially cutting and pasting with DNA. It's very, very simplified.
So basically, CRISPR is a piece of RNA that you need to also, so it's what's called a guide RNA. So you can design it to be specific to anywhere on the genome of whatever organism you're trying to edit. And for the most part, there's a whole thing about like something called a PAM, and I just don't want to get into it. And then it will also basically flag that spot to be cut by a specific kind of enzyme called a Cas9.
Okay. But so awesome. you can't bathe in a vat of fluid.
The thing is that at some point in the future, that could actually be possible with CRISPR. Because CRISPR is an incredibly robust method for changing and editing genes in specific ways. However, if you're just sitting in a vat of it, there's no way to determine how it's going to actually be doing that kind of, like, gene editing, and the idea of like the number of genes and like pathways that you would need to change in order to create a person that could change into something else. First of all, I doubt that there would be any way that you could create something that would be able to change into something else and then change back and have any kind of control over that. That's just not within the realm of possibility, really. But you could theoretically create something that would cause somebody to start having mutations that would be reminiscent of a kind of fish.
Okay, so maybe it could be like only his dick could puff up and back, and that's it.
Well, yeah, but I even think that you'd be able to like control that. So technically with CRISPR, like it is within the realm of possibility. It's just so far-fetched in terms of like the complexity that would be required for that. Basically, when I think of CRISPR, I think of the splicers from BioShock. Did anybody here play BioShock?
I have, yes.
I have not.
You know the splicing things that they used in BioShock? So CRISPR is kind of that, basically. So yeah, technically you could totally... So there was a whole thing about this guy who, like, injected himself with, like, CRISPR. And I don't even remember what he was trying to do. I think it was, like, to, like, get muscle tone or something like that. And, like, the ability that CRISPR has is immense. But we're not there yet, and it's going to be a very, very long time before we are. And I doubt that soaking in a vat of just, like, random CRISPR particle, like, CRISPR, you'd need CRISPR, you'd need Tracer, you'd need Cas9, you would need specific genes that are targeted, you would need to know which genes to target, you would need to know how to insert pufferfish genes into a person so that they display certain traits but not other ones. And once you start messing with one gene, they're usually involved in, like, multiple pathways, so you don't know, like, what's going to happen there. But yeah, so basically what I'm saying is it's technically possible.
Okay, so there is the way, but, you know,
this is likely not the way.
Autumn, let's hear your segment.
All right, so for today's titillating history with me, titties. Actually, just tits. We are going to look at a few of some of the weirdest military science experiments, and I mean science with a capital S, that I was able to find. I hope to blow, like a pufferfish, you away with these swell facts. And I didn't see any pufferfish experiments, but I'm not saying it couldn't exist. So this first one is one that I've known about for a while, and it's not military, but it is NASA. So we're going to take a quick look at this NASA-funded experiment that happened in the 1960s. It was led by Dr. John Lilly. It is the LSD one.
Oh, drugs! My God.
So Dr. John Lilly was a neuroscientist who had been interested in truly communicating with animals and believed that dolphins were actively trying to communicate with humans. As an avid user of LSD, he believed this was the key to talking to them. He noted that dolphins on... Huh?
Just why, though?
I don't know. So dolphins on LSD were far more vocal than usual, probably because they're, you know, on a psychedelic,
on
but
LSD.
What do I know? I don't have the science degree. I'm not a doctor. So he wrote a book on this theory called Man and Dolphin, and lo and behold, a group of researchers at NASA read this book and then decided to... At NASA, and they decided to sponsor his research as an attempt to communicate with, wait for it, aliens. Extraterrestrial beings. LSD and dolphins were the key. So, as Lilly detailed in a 1967 article, he had been administering 100 microgram doses of LSD to the dolphins. So he opens the Communication Research Institute on the island of St. Thomas, where he and a small group of colleagues studied dolphin communications. In 1963, this is where shit starts to get weirder, Margaret Howe Lovett joined the experiment to teach dolphins English and was to be around the dolphins around the clock. And it was there she was paired with a dolphin named Peter. Long story short, dolphins are horny motherfuckers, and Peter, the dolphin, fell in love with Margaret. And
did he, though?
He did fall in love with her, yeah.
Or he also did was she really.
He fell in love with her, but he also got real horny for her, so he began to rub himself on her, and she also helped take care of his needs. So, eventually, no progress was made, and the research lost its funding, and Lilly focused more on LSD on the human brain rather than dolphins. And the reason why they think that the dolphin did fall in love with Margaret is because this is a little sad. Actually, it's very sad. He ended up committing suicide or attempting to commit suicide.
Wait, the dolphin did?
The dolphin did. Dolphin, yeah, the dolphin Peter. I believe he committed suicide because they had to separate because Margaret, you know, went back to her normal life and left the research center. And so Margaret went back to normal life. And they tried to rehabilitate Peter or something like that. I didn't read about... I'm more focused on the LSD and the dolphins rather than after, but this is just what I remember. He did eventually commit suicide because I think he was able to stop himself from breathing.
Oh, my God.
So there's a lot...
You could do that.
Yeah, it is very sad. There's a lot more to this experiment. And where I originally learned about this was the Dollop, which is a history podcast with two comedians. And it's one of their earlier episodes. So the next experiment I wanted to do a little dive into, a bird dive, is Project Pigeon. During World War II, psychologist B.F. Skinner received military funding for a new weapon. Pigeon-guided missile.
I think I remember learning about these.
I bet this is in that pigeon book that I gave you.
I bet it is.
So he got the idea for his bird's eye bomb while watching a flock of pigeons in flight. Quote, "Suddenly, I saw them as devices with excellent vision and extraordinary maneuverability. Could they not guide a missile?" He trained the pigeons to peck at pre-chosen images, for example, an enemy battleship, and he would then place the birds inside a specially designed missile nose cone. The tiny little cockpit contained a plastic screen that had an image of the weapon's flight path. By pecking at the screen, the pigeons steered towards the target. While early simulations showed the birds were actually great pilots, and physicists and psychologists endorsed the project, the military was not impressed, and they were not a fan. So in October 1944, they pulled the plug on kamikaze pigeons. So in a similar vein, World War II and the Cold War were wild times for experiments. Bat bombs were also an experimental weapon. So the bomb was a bomb-shaped casing with over 1,000 compartments, and each contained a hibernating Mexican free-tailed bat with a small bomb detached. Dropped from a bomber at dawn, the casings would deploy a parachute in mid-flight and open to release the bats, which would then disperse and roost in eaves and attics in a 20 to 40 mile radius. The incendiaries were set on timers and would then ignite and start fires in inaccessible places in the largely wood and paper constructions of the Japanese cities. And these were the weapons' intended target, as this was after the attack on Pearl Harbor. The United States Navy... The United States Navy took control. It really is. And the idea came from a Pennsylvania dentist named Lytle Adams. And he got this idea when he was on vacation and the bombings on Pearl Harbor were just announced. So the United States Navy took control in August 1943, and they used the codename Project X-Ray. After 30 demonstrations and about $2 million spent, the project was canceled, and a strong possibility for why this is because the U.S. decided to focus on the development of the atomic bomb instead.
Great.
So while there are so many different experiments that I could go into of varying degrees of morals and morality, the last one I'll delve into are the U.S. Camel Corps. So during the 19th century, horses were the Army's primary form of transportation. In 1956, the Secretary of War at the time, Jefferson Davis, also the the present or the future president of the Confederacy, imported a herd of several dozen camels from North Africa and Turkey. He believed that these ships of the desert would thrive in the newly conquered territories in the Southwest, and early tests and supply runs supported this. Camels can go days without water, and they easily carried heavy loads and navigated the terrain better than mules and horses. A previously skeptical observer dubbed them noble and useful brutes after a successful expedition to the Arizona-California border. However, the Civil War ended their stint in the armed services, which is kind of funny because Jefferson Davis was the president of the Confederacy, and they were disbanded after the Confederacy captured its base at Camp Verde, Texas. Officers, for whatever reason, had lost interest in the outfit during the march to war. Many of these remaining camels were auctioned off to circuses and private citizens, while others were turned loose. There were sightings of their descendants in their wild as recently as the 1940s.
Interesting.
So that is my segment. There are so many different experiments. Again, some of them are, these were pretty horrible to animals. There are a lot where we are horrible to humans.
Science.
Of dubious morality.
Oh, thank you, Tits. And thank you, Loins, for your segments of knowledge.
You're welcome. Just spreading the seeds of knowledge.
Our next book is Kelsey's choice.
Oh, indeed. And we're going to be reading a book about unicorns because when I was a kid, I was obsessed with unicorns. Like, obsessed.
Samesies.
So I feel like, you know, it's time, and we found this really amazing book.
Don't say it's amazing yet.
Well, it
sounds bonkers.
It's amazing great. In the sense of it being absolutely fucking bonkers. Called Unicornia. Unicornia, an erotic tale featuring unicorns, aliens, and other such fantasies. This book is 21 pages long, so I'm very curious how they fit all of that in one book. But you know what? I'm not gonna, you know, I have learned at this point not to doubt the anything, really. If it claims that, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we're gonna find out, and no matter what, we're gonna experience it together.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe they're unicorn aliens.
Oh. Maybe unicorns are aliens. Oh my god. Okay. Sorry. Speaking of which, I was listening to. Speaking of aliens, I was listening to, and that's why we drink. And M covered chupacabras, and they said that like chupacabras were originally seen as like potentially aliens and like gray men kind of stereotype. And so I was like, wait a minute, that is very much like how they're described in the chupacabra book. And so maybe the person that wrote it knows quite a bit about like chupacabra lore.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause as, in Autumn's section, you were talking about how, Species? Was that
a sci-fi movie about aliens, and the early sightings of chupacabras looked a lot like them.
Well, but they were also saying that there's kind of two versions of chupacabra, and they might be like two totally different cryptids. Cool. You should totally listen to it, but it was just kind of like, oh, that explains a lot about the chupacabra book, oddly enough. Who would have thunk it?
I'm really looking forward to when we listen to a podcast that makes us go, oh, that explains a lot about the Werepuffer book.
Someday. You never know.
Someone out there has talked about that, maybe.
Yeah, yes.
So thanks to all of our listeners and Throbbing members. If you want to support us, give us a rating, a review, and a subscribe on your provider of choice. Where are we?
All the places
for now. Most of them. A lot of them. Google Play, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Apple Podcasts.
If we're not on your thing, let us know.
Yeah, let us know if we're not on your provider of choice. One quick note, if you see something kind of weird in terms of episodes, we've recently switched podcast providers from Podomatic to Anchor. So some stuff's showing up kind of weird.
Sorry, guys. It's fine.
We're free. You pay no money for us. It's fine. You'll deal. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at GallopingAbsPod. If you have burning thoughts or questions or suggestions for future books, we want to hear. Send them to GallopingAbsSociety@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Until we ride
we puff
again.
Off into the distance.
Woof. Into the night.
Kelsey, yeah. I can hear you snacking.
Yep. God damn it. I was hoping you guys wouldn't be able to hear
the mic is too good.
Curses!